Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, live at Stellantis!
Yeah! Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well now,
Stellantis
welcome.
Crew, can
Stellantis
we hear you?
HQ.
Awesome. Never
this
been
is,
here.
No, and this is their lovely new... I don't know what you call
it. It's an auditorium,
it.
Richard.
Club room.
No, you're looking at...
For the purposes, for the purposes of the tape, someone has left a lovely stack of club biscuits on our little table
magazine.
Here on the stage.
not the
magazine. Imagine if the ambassador from the Ferrero Rocher adverts, this is kind of like what he does in the weekdays or when he's not got people over. This is his private stash of stacked up
it's Jenga. You're
treats.
Playing Jenga with confectionery.
It is. They're a Jenga stack, so I'm slightly distracted and I just keep looking at them.
Leave the clubs alone.
Thank you all for joining us. This is tremendous. We haven't done one of these for a while. No. Welcome to Stellantis. I was going to start with a little game.
Who's up for a game?
Don't worry, it's not. You don't have to join in too.
Lackluster, but we'll go with it.
Yeah. Some of you may not be aware, but as well as being Belgium's leading techno DJs, Stellantis is also a car company.
Fact.
Incredible to think that this whole headquarters is not just full of records. So I thought a little game, because it can be quite confusing to remember what Stellantis is. So I'm going to say some names of car companies... And you've got to say if they are Stellantis or not Stellantis. Haven't thought this through.
I would have liked to catch your no, ideally. But
all right, so first one, Vauxhall. Yes.
Yes, Stellantis.
These guys are good. Arbath.
Yes.
Renault.
Oh, they were quick.
They were really quick.
You thought they might hook them in with that, but no.
Okay. Ferrari. Oh!
There were some yeses.
I heard a yes.
Interesting.
Well, let me tell you, it's a no.
But
it's not as simple as that. As we know, Ferrari used to be part of Fiat, and then when Fiat became FCA, and then Ferrari was floated on the stock exchange.
Yeah.
But some of the shares were retained by the Ferrari family and also by FCA. But not really, because Ferrari shares now owned by a company called Exor, who are kind of investment company.
Oh, that's got Lex Luthor shit written all over it.
Do you know what else Exor owns? Or owns bits of, rather?
Club International.
You're just looking at the biscuits again. They own, bizarrely, they own a bit of Iveco Trucks.
Yes.
They own a bit of Christian Louboutin, the passion label. Don't know why. They own quite a big chunk of Juventus, the football club. And... they own about 22% of Ferrari, but they also own about 14% of Stellantis.
What? So that's sort of...
so that's it's sort like a super nerdy pantomime.
It is.
Stellantis and Ferrari are effectively, I suppose, sisters under the part investment ownership of Exor, but they are not, in fact, the same company.
Well, and there you fucking go.
And with that... I disappear into the night.
I was going to say, I'd like you to
for
just...
for being too fucking interesting.
You should sweep a cape across your face and then a puff of smoke, and then I'm on my own.
Do you want the full list of a Stellantis companies?
Yes, please.
Abarth, Alfa Romeo, Chrysler, Citroen, Dodge, DS, Fiat Professional, Jeep, Lancia, Maserati, Opel, Peugeot, Ram, Vauxhall, and also a small percentage of Leapmotor in China.
Yeah, that's loads.
It is loads.
Goodness, mate.
It's amazing they don't need a bigger office.
They also own the Talbot brand.
They also own the Talbot brand, says a man in the front row.
Yeah, I know you.
What are they doing with it, then?
It's true, because obviously where we are stood, where this building is. This is all old school Roots Group, as was.
All the roads are named after old... This is
back in the day.
Sunbeam Way, is it?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Horizon Street?
Yeah.
Samba Trio Special Edition Avenue?
Have you tried to find the Solara...
Yes, Solara.
Solara Drive?
Solara Drive.
I bet you have.
It's a very tappety road, that
one. Toyota would be like, seriously. Yeah. I was hoping you'd ask me why I'm wearing these socks and shoes.
Well, I know why you're wearing those socks, because they're the Spalt socks that I bought you from a rural Welsh supermarket.
They do. Look at them. Knock off Adidas. Look at those beauties.
I think they were £2.50 for a pack of three. So.
Were they really?
Yeah.
They were that cheap. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I've got the Spalt for the purposes of listeners. I've got the Spalt socks on.
But, why are you wearing wicker-fronted shoes?
Well, I found these bad fellas. I knew I'd bought them... A long time ago, I actually bought these shoes brand new for a fancy dress do about 17 years ago. And I went into a bad shoe shop and I said, okay, what's the cheapest pair of men's shoes in UK 12 that you've got? And they went, these.
It wasn't even a beat, just these.
No, honestly, it was like, we've had these for years and we can't get rid of the buggers, have them. And I paid £12 for them.
Ooh.
Yes.
So basically, everything... below your ankle costs the sum total of £14.50. Actually, no, that's not true, because the socks were in a three-pack, so...
Yeah, so less.
I can't do the maths on that, but anyway, that's good. But what was the theme of the party? Disgraced entertainer?
No, I can't actually remember what I dressed as that party, but what I can do is the reason why I'm wearing them to this event is because I thought to myself, how do you say to someone in a room, I drive a rough yellow bird? But without saying I drive a rough yellow bird.
Interesting.
That's how.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, maybe Ayrton Senna NSX spec, possibly, but these do have laces. So I'm quite happy to delace them if for authenticity later on.
Good.
Yeah. Trouble is they're actually not UK 12 because I've just walked in and they're really small. They're much shorter wheelbase than I remember. So my toes are sort of like fangs.
This is a deviation, but, you know, not for the first time. A listener sent us a thing this week because they'd found an article where an ex-cat burglar was interviewed. This woman who used to burgle big houses in Florida. And the reason that the listener sent it to us, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, whoever it was, but they said that we'd been talking about whether more crimes happened when it was raining. And they do, according to this woman. She said, I always used to do over houses when it was absolutely terrible weather because there's fewer people around. And anyone sees you up to something, they can't be bothered to walk over because it's wet.
It's true. But also lots of surround noises, other noises, distracting noises.
The reason I bring this up now is because she said one of the tactics she used as well to avoid detection or being convicted if caught was she'd always wear the wrong size shoes.
Oh.
Anyone heard of this before? Burglars wearing the wrong size. I mean, I'd go. Well, it's tough, actually, because you go too small, you're going to be uncomfortable while you're on the rob.
Yeah, true.
But you go too big, there's a chance you might fall over as you're trying to run away. So
you'd run out of your own shoes.
I'd probably only go like a half size either way, and then they'd just go, well, I mean, they're cut big.
I'll tell you one thing. If I was going to do a heavy getaway, I would not use these. The traction on these is terrible.
Well, you've got your ridgy bit there.
I've got the ridge for the purposes of those listening and not in the room. These are not leather-soled.
No, those are like my wedding shoes.
What, were they £12 as well?
It was my wedding, Johnny. They were £15.75.
Yeah.
No, I bought some new shoes to get married in, and I'd sort of assumed for some reason they had leather soles. I'd never really thought about it until I tried to slide onto the dance floor. In fact, emergency stopped onto the dance floor.
Did you?
And almost fell on my face, yeah. Because someone had put Gino by Dexys on. Oh. It was an emergency. I had a dancing emergency. I had to get to the dance floor. But yeah, I just properly went, bonk.
Do you know, I went to my first Christmas do the other night. It was awkward because I didn't know anybody. I'm not going to say what it was about because that will reveal too much information. But there's some information I want to share. It was in quite a bad pizzeria, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But as I was sat down making small chat with people I didn't really know, I looked up at the ceiling. I was just observing the coving, as you do. It's true. I do sometimes do that. Yeah. And I noticed in the ceiling of this pizzeria, there were 6x9 car speakers doing the sort of ambient music, which was obviously Italian kind of opera speckle or something like that.
I've seen that before, but...
Have you? Six by nines in the ceiling of a room?
Yeah, and I can't think where.
This was a terrible pizzeria.
Can you say where?
Or no, I can't say. I'm not saying where.
Why did you go to a party where you don't know anyone and it was in a terrible pizzeria?
Because I can't say, because then it'll instantly identify who and what and where. But what I will say is, when we came to pay for our food, the guy took about 45 minutes to go around with a little contactless payment to everybody and then realised he'd only charged everybody for drinks and not food and had to do that. Had to do the entire thing again. There were people trying to leave, and he was like, no, because you've only paid half. And he was like, well, we've just given you money. It was very awkward.
Did you ask him where he got his speakers from?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Those
I didn't.
An astromate.
I didn't dare.
Johnny's done a list, in case you hadn't noticed. Johnny's done a list of things that are on his mind.
I have to do this over the sort of coming days of these events. I've written down council gritter sport.
Okay.
Because two things happen. Also, you know, the council gritters are out, aren't they, because it's winter.
Mm.
But I've noticed, I've seen in fuel stations an abundance. I know we're surrounded by confectionery on this table. An abundance of Ritter Sport right next to the way you pay for stuff for petrol. I think they're going through a massive wave of promotion. They've come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I wonder what.
Have you seen Ritter Sport more than usual?
Yeah, something.
You know
what
I'm talking about, don't you? Ritter Sport is I think it's German chocolate company.
But it feels like they're trying to force the issue a little bit.
What
of have our chocolate? We've got chocolate. Have our chocolate. We don't want it. It's by the still. You're going to buy some.
Yeah.
Like that suspiciously cheap lease deals on those VW ID buses the other day. What's going on? Maybe they come full of Ritter Sport.
I actually like
Ritter
Sport.
We're on to you, Germany.
But they always do ones with marzipan and praline.
Well, that's what I mean. They're sort of the Euro spec chocolates.
They're very Euro chocolate.
You go, it looks quite nice. I'll give it a try because it's got a green wrapper. I imagine it's mint, and then you discover it's not. It's like cabbage flavour or something.
Cabbage.
Well, you know what I mean, though? You just get a kind of slightly left field chocolate from abroad, and it's not. The colour, it's like Walker's crisps.
And they changed
the colour coding's all off.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But Germans,
I heard a good from the front.
The Germans are quite bad at the whole colour coding thing. It's when they used to sell SLK Mercs that were like navy blue on the outside and blood red on the inside.
Yes.
It never worked.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
No, their red interiors are always too red, aren't they?
So red, just like murder red.
Yeah.
It's probably horrible red.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast. Or it was on another podcast. I think it was on when I did Chris Harris's podcast. And I told the story about, sorry, I'm seeing other podcasts behind your back. No, it's before we started doing this.
Is it though?
It was years ago.
Is it?
But I told the story about, there's this old bastard Yorkshire farmer who went down to Ripon Land Rover to try and trade in his Defender. And he ended up buying a top of the range Evoque. For no apparent reason, except it was in the showroom, and he just went, how much is that? I'll take it.
Really?
And
he's running late, he needed a wee.
He's running late, yeah.
He needed
and
a
then
wee.
He used it to carry sheep in, and then he took it down to Ripon, I think it was Morrison's, and put it through the car wash, because he realised it was filthy. And while he's in the car wash, he went, what's that button there? I've never seen that before. And he pushed it was the electric tailgate.
Oh.
Which went up.
I've seen the video of that.
And was then ripped off. Because he went, oh, bugger, and tried to make an escape and drove off, and the bottom half of the tailgate was ripped off. Now, I was told this story by somebody else, and I've always thought it's a great story, and, you know, I'm never entirely sure how much of it was true. But anyway, someone got in touch with us this week and said, I used to work at that garage. It's absolutely true. Here's some pictures of the car. Now, the tailgate being ripped off is one thing. It's actually the bottom half, and then the farmer has put some black board in there instead with a number plate glued to it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
He's got like a half-mast tailgate.
He must have had to go buy another number plate because what happened was he left behind the bottom part of his tailgate with its number plate on, which is how come someone from Morrison's turned up at Ripon Land Rover, having seen their logo on the number plate, and gone, I think this belongs to one of your customers. He's just broken our car wash.
Never came back for the bottom half.
Well, he did eventually. And they went, oh, Morrison's want to speak to you. And he was like, I don't want to speak to them. And then they had to break it to him that it was going to cost 15 grand to repair his Evoque because it had absolutely frigged it, including cracking the glass roof.
And he went, I'm not paying that. Just wash your own bastard car.
Well, he's clearly a busy man with lugging sheep round in a 45 grand Evoque. So the thing that's remarkable to me about these pictures, which I won't share them because this was sent to me sort of just as a private thing, and I won't name the guy, but it's fascinating to...
And I won't name the pizzeria.
Yeah. When we stop recording, we'll tell you all individually.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing to me was not the tailgate damage, it was what an Evoque interior looks like when it's had sheep in it. Now, this Evoque was apparently it's a showroom model, and it was absolutely at the time tippity top of the range, so 45 grand or whatever they were then. And it had got the bi-tone leather, so it had got black outer seats and red inner seats. And that is a very strident red in there.
It is.
At least until a sheep has shat on it, and then it takes on a slightly duller tone. But it turns out that one of the other things that sheep do to cars is they chew the seat belts. So the car was quite comprehensively ruined. So the 15 grand wasn't just for doing the outside. It was for also...
I can't work out why he decided to buy one.
I don't know. Also, the other thing is he didn't trade his Defender for it in the end. He traded some ratty old Astra van for it. And when he turned up and went, right, there's a trade, and like, give me the keys to my new car. So he went, I've got to get my stuff out. He pulled out some massive chains, and in putting them into the boot of the Evoque, he smacked them into the back bumper. And then he went back in the Astrovan, he pulled out a huge gas cylinder. As he was trying to get it in the Evoque, he whacked it into the side of it. Brand new car. And then off he drove into the hills to put sheep in it.
Legends.
Now to square as fork, as they say.
Yep.
So, have you got something else on your list?
I've always got things on my list, Richard.
Well, can I just... I was going to just... Something that we didn't talk about last week on the podcast, and I sort of feel like... It was remiss of us, and I feel like it's going to elicit noises in the room. Tesla Cybertruck.
Do you know, I had that written down. Oh. Got it written down here, just for transparency.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? There, look.
Oh, yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
No, you've written... But you're from the West Country, so you've written Cider Truck. Brackets, good idea, ?
I actually wish it was a cider truck. That'd be quite useful, wouldn't it?
This is an interesting one, isn't it? It's been playing on my mind.
What do we think? What do we think in the audience? So it's Tesla Cybertruck?
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh. I think
all right, Elon, pipe down.
I think the confusion for me is the truck bit. Because I don't entirely believe it's a truck.
I don't think it's a truck, is it?
It's a half-mast car.
Well, it's quite a big car. Did you know one of the things is, though, that between the... And I know this is actually not uncommon in the car industry. Concept cars tend to be built big, so they look impressive on motor show stands. But the Cybertruck was shrunk down. But only after they tried to engineer it at the same size, and then Musk had taken it home and gone, no, it's too big.
Really?
They scaled it down. I think they didn't scale it the same proportion in every direction, but it is shorter than that one they drove on stage originally, and it's a bit narrower, I think. So shrunk it down a bit, but it's still massive.
Yeah. But it's got four-wheel steering, everybody, and if you read the things on social media, people are like, total game changer with a four-wheel steering. Yeah, total game changer if you've never been in the 80s and seen a Honda Prelude.
Yeah.
P.S., the 80s was about 40 years ago.
Well, that's because I feel like that with... I saw someone that... I think the facelifted Model 3 has lane departure warning. No, sorry, not lane departure warning, a blind spot warning.
Yeah.
And I saw a Tesla enthusiast on social media going, oh, my God, this is awesome. And you're like, cars have had that for like 20-odd years.
Yeah.
It's going, oh, my God, they got water with bubbles in it now. What the hell? It's just like, wow. It just, because I think, and I don't mean this as a criticism. Well, I suppose I kind of do.
I think you probably do, though.
I think Tesla enthusiasts are often people who actually aren't into cars. They're into tech.
True.
So they don't know what's going on with other cars.
Yeah.
And so they're wowed by almost everything that a Tesla has because they're unaware that you can have it on a Yaris.
A Volvo from 2001.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Doors that open, I mean, doors that fit properly are maybe a different thing.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm very curious about the Cybertruck because I think there's been some sort of bullshit spread about it by the people who got access to review it. It doesn't have an exoskeleton. Okay, wasps have exoskeletons. Go and dismantle a wasp and see what that looks like. That's not like a Cybertruck. It's got an internal structure. It means it's not an exoskeleton.
True.
So that's bullshit. And I saw one of the reviewers repeating that lie that the Model S got 5.4 out of 5 in safety tests.
What?
Yes. It's a literally impossible car. So there's been some extremely shitty journalism, but I do think the Cybertruck is quite interesting, and we are talking about it now, and I found myself talking to people about it all
week. Of course, absolutely.
Which is kind of, you know, we want interesting cars and cars that we can talk about.
Disruptive.
disruptive
vehicles.
Although you can be disruptive by having a poo in boots. But, and I wouldn't recommend it, honestly.
Do you mean footwear or do you mean the shoe?
Either's good. You know.
Either's not ideal, let's face it.
But I do think there's sort of there's plenty to talk about. And there is some interesting stuff on it, you know, sort of full 48 volt electrics and blah, blah, blah. But I do think they've made a rod for their own back by having to dress it up in
make
stainless
it
steel.
Look like that.
Yeah. That's just silly. Imagine if it didn't have to have stainless steel skin that they've had to develop a whole new thing for.
Yeah.
They could have got it on sale earlier and it could still have had all the interesting good bits about it. So
I'm still going Rivian. But listen, there's bigger news out there, Richard.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember the other week we were talking about a tin of soup signed by Nigel Mansell?
Yes.
Well, when we finished recording our podcast, I dithered a bit and thought I must buy that tin of soup and didn't buy it for 24 hours. Went back to the link, fucking gone.
Did anyone here buy the cream of Mansell soup?
God,
I was wishing someone would say yes.
So if anybody's listening to this podcast, if somebody bought the Mansell soup, which does sound wrong when you say it out loud, could you please get in touch with us? We're just keen to know what the hell is going on, frankly.
Somebody pointed out that the tin of Mansell soup was, in fact, it had on it part of a multi-pack not to be resold separately.
Oh, did it?
Which sort of implies the existence of three more tins of Mansell soup, or perhaps, for enthusiasts of the famous Gang of Four from 1980s F1, a Senna soup, a Prost soup, and a Piquet soup. Cream of Piquet. Now, I mean, obviously the soup would have to be quite out of date now if they'd got Senna's signature on it as well as all the other three, but it's an intriguing prospect.
But there'll be collectors out there that if you've got all of the soups by all of the men, game-changing amounts of money.
Anyway, this brings me quite neatly onto this tatty box here.
Oh, sweet.
Which...
That's spectacularly badly packaged.
Well, it's partly my fault because I ripped it open and then repackaged it, but I'd like you to open that.
Oh, shit.
Because,
okay.
In fact, I would like you to have the contents because I certainly don't want it in my house anymore.
Oh.
This is a stitch back to something else that we referenced on the podcast a few weeks ago, I think, which... I'll let Johnny open the box.
Well, this is about the size. It's like a small... Fuck off. You bought it. I'm going to hold this up to the audience.
For people at home, the horrible, sinister head of Nigel Mansell from eBay that we talked about.
Oh, God.
I bought it. It's not clay.
No, it's not clay, is it?
It's foam.
It's also
which actually makes it more revolting.
As
you can see, the foam... The Mansell has a tab on the go, as we established.
It's an earring.
Yeah, it's got an earring.
Do you know what? This is when... It's like you saying, could you do a self-portrait of somebody that you aren't allowed to look at and you've never seen before? What the buggery is going on? This is not Nigel Mansell.
Also, have you noticed...
This is Cabaret Mansell.
He's got an incredible shaving rash.
Is that a choker?
Yes.
He's got a choker on.
I think...
I can't believe this
is someone's Uncle Bob. And then someone's gone, that looks a bit like Nigel Mansell. Oh, you're right, yeah, let's get it on eBay for... And I can't remember what I paid for it. I think it was £5.
B&H.
But I would like you to have it.
Thank you so much.
I won't be allowed back in the house if I return home with it. My wife will change the locks. Imagine, though, it came incredibly well wrapped.
I bloody bet it did. I bet it cost more than £5 to wrap the thing.
Yeah, well, it did. It was like more than £5 worth of bubble wrap and gaffer tape and stuff. And it took me a long time to get into it. And so when I actually got into it and opened that box, I went, nobody, because it was so revolting.
It
looks like you're about to do a massive rugby kick on it.
So anybody listening, I've placed the head of Mansell, the bust of Mansell, at the edge of the stage. So if anybody wants to kind of have a feel, that sounds also quite wrong. At the end of the event, feel free.
It is.
I'm quite creeped out by the choker,
creepy.
If I'm
honest.
The
whole
earring
thing is creepy. He's also, did you notice it's got eyelashes?
Like a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost the bit that weirded me out the most, just in case they're real eyelashes or something. I don't know. Let's move on.
Buffalo Builders Craigslist. Right. Okay. So, now, I wanted to talk to you about SD-1s.
Always here for that, my friend.
So if I say to you, the audience, and you, the Richard, well, if I say SD-1, what do you think of?
Well, a big and excellent rover.
Tony Pond. Nice. Well, of course, you'd all be wrong, because I recently discovered, because I've spent some time on government websites, it's actually a really important government form.
Oh.
Which it means, you this is the exact quote, you demand immediate payment off a debt from a debt from a limited company within 21 days. You have to fill out the SD-1 form.
Is this what this pizza restaurant's doing to get you for not paying for your food?
Honestly, yeah, we won't talk about that.
Because funny enough, SD-1 is also, in my old house, we had a little box, and everyone else has got this, where the burglar alarm can ring you when it goes off. Which is
what to say? I've been going off for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going off.
Everyone's pissed off.
It's hard to know what to do with that information, though, except try and ring your own house. And if anyone answers, go, could you stop burgling me, please? Also, are you wearing the wrong size shoes? but anyway, that it was there. And I noticed the little box that is actually the thing that hooks into the phone line that rings you was called an SD-1.
What?
Mm. I think I've got a picture of it somewhere because I was so
fascinated.
You turned up
to listen to this live.
Well, it's sort of, no, but it does. I kind of slightly collect things that have the same name as cars.
Yeah.
Does anyone else do this?
No.
Someone over there said, no. Fucking weirdo. Could have been
All right,
Taylor
let's not
Swift
piss, let's not piss around. Who wants these shoes? Who is UK 11, but should be 12, but it's, I think it's 11.
Are they that uncomfortable? You just want to give them
away?
They
are actually quite uncomfortable. So I am willing to donate these shoes to someone that gives a shit. The room is...
No takers.
The room is... Right, the hand's gone out. Right. Come here, then. I'm taking these shoes off. I can't bear them anymore. There we go. Have a shoe.
Are you just giving him one?
No, no, I'm
just
not.
One, yeah.
No,
the other one goes to somebody else.
Are you expecting mine in return?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what a friend of mine did when he couldn't get into a nightclub because he was wearing trainers. He went to the pub next door.
No, you keep those shoes. That's very kind. You're willing to give me your shoes in exchange?
You're up on the deal here, my friend. You, Johnny, haven't thought this through and are driving home in your socks.
Driving home for socks. Thank you. Well,
thank you. Big round of applause for the man who now has another pair of shoes. Oh, shoes.
I'd like you to turn up in a faux rough yellow bird made out of a Daihatsu Copen or something like that, I think.
With Nigel Mansell's head as a passenger.
As a JDM gear shifter.
Now, shoes. It's not that big. Shoes reminds me of something I want to talk to you about.
Go ahead.
Printed it out because I wanted to remember it properly.
Yep. Yeah.
A few months ago, we were talking about bowling.
Yes.
You were talking about that extreme bowling where they're just...
Oh, amazing. Pro temping bowling, yeah. But they hold it in two hands. They don't put the fingers in the holes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Did you know?
It's very impressive.
There are three widely recognized categories of bowler in pro bowling.
Okay.
The first type...
I'm actually interested.
Everyone go.
Yeah.
I want to talk about bowling.
Yes.
The first type of bowler is the stroker.
Seriously?
Yes.
Did I make these up?
No, honestly, you're going to enjoy this. Okay. Using the most classic bowling form, they tend to keep the shoulders square to the foul line and develop only a moderately high backswing, achieving modest ball rotation or rev rate.
What?
Yes. And ball speeds, which thus limit hook potential and kinetic energy delivered to the pins. Strokers rely on accuracy.
Of course.
And repeatability. Strokers benefit from the high entry angles that reactive resin balls enable.
So if you really...
I printed this off on the internet, so it must be true.
That resin balls enable.
So that's strokers.
Yeah, okay. I do like a stroker.
Now, a stroker is different, of course, to a cranker.
No way.
I promise you, you can look this up. Crankers tend to open or rotate the shoulders and use strong wrist action in concert with a high backswing, achieving higher rev rates and ball speeds, thus maximum hook potential and kinetic energy. Crankers rely on speed and power, and may leave splits that would not be left by a stroker.
This can't be real.
Now, there's a third one. These are called tweeners.
What?
Derived from in between. So there's something between a stroker and a cranker. I'd have gone with wanker, but anyway. tweeners have a style that falls between stroker and cranker. The term is considered by some to include power strokers.
No.
And they are people who combine the high rev rate of a cranker with the smooth delivery of a stroker.
I love Tenpin Bowling, but this makes me love it even more. What's going on with stroking and cranking?
I don't know. It took me about a day to recover when I found this. It's sort of inadvertently smutty. I think it's American, because it's inadvertently smutty in a way that perhaps.
Has anybody been
translate.
Tenpin Bowling in the recent past?
Yeah. Were you a stroker or a cranker?
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
You're in between. Ah. At the back, there were two other people, stroking or cranking. Stroker.
Sorry. Did he say sorry? Say that again.
Stroker. And the other person who didn't just say stroker?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Nothing.
No.
Ooh. Or maybe just a quiet stroker?
a gentle stroker.
Well, right. Well, that's amazing.
There we go. I just thought I've been meaning to tell you about this for ages. Yeah. Though. It's fascinated.
I've got nothing in this book that's going to compete with that.
I don't want to keep banging on about Tesla, particularly since we're in Stellantis headquarters, and I've checked, and they're not part of the Stellantis group for now. But I was, because I was reading all that Cybertruck stuff and sort of becoming intermittently annoyed by it and fascinated. And yes. Then I suddenly thought, is it, do I want a Tesla? I feel like I want a Model Y, mainly because of the charging network.
The charging network, they're an amazing organ donor, but they look like a computer mouse. And I can't unsee that. And the Model 3, obviously, it looks like you're showing your crotch to all oncoming traffic. As you talked about, I saw one today. And, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, chaps, if you've got a Model 3, always make sure you shake carefully at the urinal, because people are going to see it otherwise as you drive off.
Or just simply wear shorts or trousers, you know, don't.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant, coin of shame.
Okay. But yeah. Okay, well, yeah, forget what I just said. We'll edit that bit out. Yeah, it's just. I think the thing, the bottom line there for me is drivetrain's brilliant, body shells unacceptable.
Okay.
That's just the way I feel about it.
People say that about me.
Yeah. Yeah, probably me.
Sometimes also call me a cranker and a stroker, so, roll with the punches.
You know what? If we were the equivalent of Starsky and Hutch, we'd be crank and stroke. Are we just unnecessarily wheel spin and
handbrake
turn?
I thought we'd be bore and stroke.
Oh, bore and stroke. Yeah.
Because of my book for the tape, I'm showing the audience my new book in a feeble attempt to promote it. put that back there.
Bore and stroke, I quite like that.
Yeah. PI.
Yeah.
Can we do that? Can we also do that thing where we wear flip-flops? Flip-flop cops. Yeah, well remembered. Someone's been paying attention.
One of us should be. The other one should have a Triumph PI.
With
the fuel injection's wanked all the time.
A detective called Triumph 2500. PI!
Yes!
That's detective.
He's just a 25-year-old man called Triumph. It's not convoluted.
I was going to share with people the thing I messaged you about the other day, where I suddenly popped into my head, is that, you know, sort of certain car names are abbreviated. And but I realised that, that if they were then owned by certain celebrities, that the names of the celebrities would then re-complete the name of the car.
What? Oh, I think I know.
Yeah, you said that at the time. You went, what are you fucking on about?
But, yeah, yeah.
So, for example, a Corvette, if it was abbreviated, but then it was bought by a member of a popular Irish group, it would be Andrea's Corvette.
Oh.
Or Andrea Corvette.
Mustn't talk about the cause.
Yeah.
We've done that before,
Elon
I think,
Musk
on this podcast.
Stang being another one. And Mary Barra's Cuda. And then I couldn't think of any more, so I just, if anyone's got any, they'll think of, tell us in the interval, and we'll read out the best ones.
I couldn't think of anyone.
No, I probably thought of them all.
They were good.
It probably was one of those ones, but it was the first thing I thought of when I woke up.
Elon Musk's Stang.
Yeah. I thought Andrea Corr's vet was...
I'd love to see Andrea Corr in a Corvette.
Would you?
Yeah. Anyway, right, so... talking a little bit more practically, before we actually came in and started this gig, we were talking very sensibly about in-car cutlery, ICC as I like to call it. I live on the road a lot, and there's nothing more annoying than buying a salad and realising you've got nothing to eat it with because you've probably left the shop and forgotten to take all the cutlery. So with all the cars that I've got circulating about my person, most of which are broken at the moment, I keep a sleeve of disposable cutlery in the glove box. And I'm really pleased with myself when I go, oh, no, I forgot. No, I haven't. It's in the glove box.
I think, aren't you the man I once saw eating a Marks & Spencer salad with a business card?
Yes. That has happened. Yes.
So I can see why you've now
I've done it.
This.
I've done the two-finger.
Do you know what
I've done
I
the
think?
Two-finger salad eating as well, and it's not cool. It's not cool at all. No, exactly. And I've used my socks as a serviette.
What?
Did you
take them off?
Yeah,
first?
I took a sock off, used it as a serviette, and then just carefully kind of put it back on again and strategically. It's true. I'm just being.
I had to do that at a house party in America once, but it wasn't to wipe my fingers.
Really?
It's a low point in my life.
Is this pre-internet?
My wife wasn't even there. I'd never even met my wife at this point, and she sometimes brings it up as an example of what an errant human being I am.
Did you leave the place one-socked, or did you?
I'm not going to tell the story.
Oh, okay.
Even by our standards, it's not good.
It's
the same party where they had those... this was in the 90s, and they had, you know, the sort of rinser things you get on sinks that come out on a thing? Yeah. At least one person knows what I'm on about. They were kind of a novelty here in the 90s, and they seemed to be quite commonplace.
I worked in a
US
catering kitchen that had one.
Yeah, but they didn't get them at home, did you? No. And this was just in an apartment in a town in North Carolina. And we were standing in the kitchen, which was open plan, onto the living room.
Yeah.
And I said, look, there's a thing that comes out of the sink and squirts. And my stupid mate C just picked it up and went like that and sprayed the whole room with it. And amazingly, we weren't asked to leave. We were asked to leave later when he threw a piece of watermelon into a ceiling fan.
Really?
And let me tell you, that is an amazing thing to behold. But it will get you asked to leave
the
party.
What, along with Captain Shitsock as well? I mean, obviously, I don't know what happened. I'm just assuming. Had a terrible
You've
incident.
Assumed broadly along the right lines,
did you?
Yes.
Were you wearing some bleached white, spulty sock numbers like the ones I'm wearing now?
I wasn't.
Anyway, you don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it because I think it reflects badly on me. And I already do this podcast, so that's fine. Listen, I want to read out a listener's message because it's something that we, again, it's a little throwback to something we talked about the other week. We were talking about the song Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
Off of Natalie Imbruglia, yeah.
An excellent song. And we were slightly concerned that when she sings Lying Naked on the Floor,
yeah,
that she was going to catch a chill.
Yes. Unless it had underfloor heating, of course.
Well, you rightly pointed out that she might have underfloor heating, but we couldn't be sure. And we were a bit worried about Natalie.
We were.
Worried no more.
Yeah. I thought
listener,
about it for a while.
Rufus Davis.
As a concerned person.
Rufus says, I'm good friends with a gas engineer who has serviced Natalie Imbruglia's heating system. She lives just outside Windsor on the Thames.
What?
And luckily for her, she had what was, at the time, quite an advanced heating system. This incorporated the swimming pool heating and the underfloor heating. I can only presume her willingness to lie naked on the floor played a big part in this setup.
Wow.
Hopefully this will paint a less troublesome picture in your minds, knowing that not only is she relatively warm down there, being naked on the floor, but also that her boiler is regularly serviced to manufacturer specifications.
Wow.
We often say this, but there is nothing that our listeners don't know. So thank you, Rufus, for that peace of mind. Assuming she still lives in Windsor, which I've heard this before, that she lives in Windsor. So that was the bit that made me think, I think this is true.
And a Corgi engineer, presumably.
But she has what was at the time. I mean, when was torn? Late 90s. So she's probably made a few quid off that.
97? Was it 97?
She'd already been in Neighbours, so she's probably all right. So she bought the house before that, had the underfloor heating put in.
Yeah.
And when she did torn, which as we know she didn't write, but it probably spoke to her because she went, oh, I do that. Because of my state-of-the-art underfloor heating.
Because it's the warmest place in the house.
Mm.
I lie down on the flagstones.
Well, she's no fool in Brulia. She knows the heat rises. She's straight on those winter months. She's on the floor.
Probably I can't go.
Eating a spag bol off the bathroom floor or something. Who knows what she's up to? I've got another letter here while I've got this.
Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. After all.
I don't even
the
want
emotion,
to read this.
Actually, of that.
Just one more. Is there anyone here? Because we're in the sort of the heartland of the British Midlands.
Oh, yeah.
And the car industry. Anyone here work for JLR? Whey!
That's what, three, four?
Three, yeah, four. Cool. Five.
You, the shoes guy.
Oh.
Okay. Good friend. Are you lending him the shoes as well?
Well, now, you haven't come in a defender, have you, with side panniers? Because you could pop the shoes in there, as we know.
That's true.
Perfect for
rough yellow bird footwear.
A listener called Matt Baker, he doesn't have a defender. He just wanted to write in and say, I've always thought those panniers on defenders are for storing jazz mags. As they appear to be the right size for a handful of grot. Just be careful when you open them. You wouldn't want a bonga lanch in Waitrose car park. And I'm only reading this out because I say the word bongo lanch, but he's got a fair point. I'm sure you could store many literature things.
Darren Arthur, are you here? Right at the back, Darren. Right. Yeah. Now, Darren, if you remember, several live events ago, told us this story about a 2CV that he bought that was absolutely full.
I remember in Bristol, it was the highlight of the Bristol live show.
Of adult graphic novels. And he sent me a picture.
I saw.
Absolutely full.
Unbelievable. And, well beyond the safe payload of a 2CV,
completely.
I would say.
It reminded me of the Brinks thingy.
Brinks mat.
The transit van full of gold bullion.
Wanks mat.
It's exactly that. Impressive though, right? That's a lot of weight of printed material, would you say? Wish you kept them. Anyway,
just one more message here that I want to read out, just because it's relevant to you personally. It's addressed to you. Johnny says, it's from a lady called Verity. Says, my other half started watching Miami Vice after hearing just how much fun you were having watching it.
I had a lot of fun.
Are you now equally as annoyed that Amazon has pulled the show from Freevee? He's livid.
Oh, I'm pissed right off. yeah, it's behind the paywall now. I'm really annoyed.
Bastard.
I've been watching it since Christmas last year, and I've got, I'd say, 3/4 of the way through.
Oh.
And the shutters have come down.
That's annoying.
Yeah, I know. I'm so annoyed about it. Out of principle, I'm never going to watch any more Miami Vice. So I'm never going to really know what happened beyond
that. But it's not Miami Vice's fault, is it? It's just the streaming service have been cruel. It might pop up on another one, and you'll have to remember where you're up
to. Well, I might forgive it if it pops up on another one. That sort of. But I know, it's a real shame. I need to apologise to everyone who started watching Miami Vice because I wouldn't stop talking about Miami Vice. It's quite addictive though, right? And the acting is better than I expected from the two main characters. All the guest characters are largely shit. But it's true. It's true. But no, I think it's solid. I think it's very solid.
Good.
Anyway.
solid.
I've almost got Miami Vice cold turkey in actual fact.
Really?
Because you just reminded me, I haven't seen any Miami Vice for probably 8 weeks.
You're absolutely haring round Stamford in a white Testarossa, but it's really taken the shine off it.
It's an MR2, to be honest. It's because I don't want to drive a Testarossa in winter.
Oh,
so that's when I get the...
Keep it for best.
Yeah, that's when I get the Mr. 2 out. Exactly. Absolutely drowned in duck oil, just so it doesn't erode.
Duck oil? duck oiling your MR2?
Regularly.
Good.
Yeah, just to counteract the salt granules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a thing I do. Yeah.
Have you got something else you want to talk about on your list?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Spotify. It's an idea I had a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Come on. Okay. It's fairly obvious. Spotify for cars with grunt, I was thinking. It's like Shazam, so you play the sound of the car and it tells you what the car is, but it's Spotify.
Ah.
And they'll know if it's a Transit, you know, that hot Transit with the pretend exhausts. What's the name of it? The one with the body kit. MRST.
No, yeah, that's the thing they have in hospitals that makes your legs fall off.
Yeah, it's that one.
Yeah.
It's that one. It's the one with the exhaust, with the other exhaust clamped onto it.
Yeah.
When you follow it with headlights on at night, you can see it's just...
That's annoying, isn't it?
It's just a no entry.
Hey, do you know what other car has fake exhausts?
Lots of Audis.
If you'd read Boring Car Trivia 4, you would know that. Lamborghini Miura.
What's that, Richard? What's that you're holding?
That's my new book, Johnny.
Just come out, has it?
It's full of facts. It has just come out, actually, funnily enough. I haven't mentioned it, but it has just come out. But yeah, in there, one of the facts is that the Lamborghini Miura has fake exhausts. Because the clamshell hinges at the back. So if it had real exhaust, they'd snap off. So they're just little stubby fakies, and the real ones come out further up.
Why did we never know this?
Silence. The silence of the fascinated.
That is actually quite impressive, isn't it?
Thanks,
shit,
mate.
I forgot about Nigel's head at the bottom of the edge of the stage.
I want you to put that on, like, put it on your bedside table.
No way.
And see how many times you wake up screaming.
No bloody way am I putting that on the bedside table.
I've had a night mansel again.
Night mansel. Next Halloween, I'm going to get it sewn onto the shoulder of a coat.
Are you going to shave your beard to match his? I've noticed as well, he's got not like real Mansell, he's got a little
soul patch.
And I used to have really big sideburns.
I used to have sideburns just like that, and a soul, but I never had a tash like that.
Are you sure this isn't you?
I was going to say, I don't know, that makes it a little bit
Do you have a B&H cap?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure Mansell's never had one of those.
I don't think Mansell's or a choker, or a single choker. Earring. No, not really. These are all not
Nigel Mansell. It's someone's Uncle Jim.
Yeah, someone's it is. It's someone's dodgy uncle, clearly. Yeah.
Now, something else I want to bring up. There's another message from a listener, but I found this quite interesting because it's sort of relevant. A listener called John Thistlethwaite said, please consider a segment on this pertinent topic. Want to find the least valuable car sporting the most valuable number plate? It's something that's fascinated me for years. And he's put in some... He's seen ABC123 on a faded red mid-90s Fiesta and A14 on a late 2000s A-Class. And today he saw 13DE on a... What he describes as a I've got a friendly MOT chap spec W202 C-Class. I think we know exactly what John means.
Yeah, because it's so discreet, what with that number plate. That
Well, and so John was wondering if listeners could submit their things. Now, the thing about this is, John says he wonders if it's the result of old money transitioning to deceased spec final drive motoring, or possibly less financially able children and grandchildren inheriting an heirloom spec plate.
Heirloom spec.
Well, we've got a listener who is some kind of hotshot accountant.
Have we?
And he's messaged us before about things like this.
Is he going to give us a really valuable number plate?
This is one of our patrons. He says, please do not read my name out in capital letters.
Well, see, that's why I'm glad you read these out.
Yes. There's a good reason why this is staying over this side of the table.
He protects me from these pieces of literature.
He says it's about very valuable number plates on not very expensive cars. It's very common in certain parts of the country. It's often part of an inheritance tax plan because there hasn't really been a huge market correction on the value of certain plates. Please do not read my name out, he says again, just to be clear.
Yours, Alan.
Some people... Some people have been passing plates through their family like bearer bonds for years. The method is you buy a very expensive number plate, put it on a quite cheap car, and put it in your will that your car is to go to so-and-so. Even if the revenue spot the valuable plate, they don't generally consider the car and the plate to be distinct because the DVLA have the right to withdraw the plate with no compensation, so they only value the car for inheritance purposes. Please do not read my name out, he says again.
Is that the third? Well, it's three lots of capitals.
There's different schools of thought on how to do this.
Well, actually, I did a bit of an auction preview, which would be last week if you're listening to this when it comes out, which I can't remember, Sunday, Monday. And there was a smart cart which went for auction as a category N, you know, the sort of like the category of salvage that you can put the car back on the road. A smart car, category N, and the number plate was 52K.
Ooh.
Yeah, which was valued at 50 grand. Between 45 and 50 grand. So,
do you think that was say what you see? How much is that plate worth?
Oh, 52K. Honestly, I haven't
the
seen...
The power of suggestion.
I haven't seen what that plate goes for or has sold for, but if it has gone for 52, brilliant. But yeah, so you're getting a free... like damaged smart with your exceptionally expensive number plate.
Oh, and then you can pass that on to your children.
Because the number plate's about 4 inches long.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really tinsy.
I saw a discovery on the motorway today and the number plate was dog box.
What?
And I thought...
My brother calls like shit cars that.
But also that's a kind of, you know...
What's that?
Gearbox, dog box.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Synco box.
I thought you were doing something
else. I was like, well, now it's a discovery. Cranking or stroking? I assume because it's a discovery that it's someone who has large pets and that is the box in which they transport them around. Which I thought, in a way, I don't really like private plates, but I thought that was in a strange way. It was quite cool. But I did wonder if it's just, in fact, an enthusiast of very noisy competition gearboxes.
I'd love it if that Land Rover had a big sequential.
Really high stick on it. JLR really people, could we make this possible? Is that technically... got to make it talk to the ECU, mate. That's what people seem to say all the time now. And you go, well, like, put a new gearbox in it. Don't know if we'll get on with the ECU, mate.
ECU's bane of my life at the moment.
Yes. Are we allowed to ask?
That and water ingress.
So... I should tell you, in fact, Johnny, is this a spoiler alert if I tell the messages you left me the other day?
I don't know.
On Monday, you left me a long voice note about what a great time you were having in a car that you just got going.
Yeah, you can probably say that, yeah.
Johnny rang me from his Boxster.
Yeah, swanky, yeah.
And told me that it was working brilliantly.
Yes.
In fact, it had magically fixed itself, is that right?
Yeah, it has. It's self-healed the ECU, which is still, I think any car that self-heals... You aren't entirely trusting of it because you think, when's it going to go back to what it was or get worse?
It will sound irrelevant. Does anyone have any wood? Just because I need to touch some wood.
Stage might be wood.
I'll assume there might be wood in this chair. My Range Rover fixes itself.
Yeah, guess what he's driven to this event in?
Working. And it's I'm not saying it, no. But it is working well. But yeah, it fixes itself. Driver's door window suddenly stopped being one touch. Now it's one touch again.
Amazing.
Just didn't feel like it for a while.
Is it a stroker or a cranker? That's the question. So, yeah, I drove home aquaplaning a third of the way, 150 miles.
But it was the fact I was in a car with someone we know, another car journalist, and I got that message. He was driving, and I was in the bus. So I listened to your message, and I was going, ha, 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 and then had to explain myself when I came off listening to the message. I said, Johnny's picked up his Boxster. He says it's going brilliantly. And we both went, uh-oh. In about the time it took us to look at each other and go, uh-oh, I had a second message from you that just went, one of the wipers has come off.
It was flailing with rain, like it is tonight, the whole way back. And I was stuck behind a lorry with just lots of mist, pissy mist coming off it. And so the wipers were getting a proper workout. And then one of the blades on the driver's side just came unhooked and went down halfway down the shaft, sort of like wibbly wobbly, so that the end of the arm was scoring the windscreen.
Oh,
it was horrendous. So I had to kill the wipers and then drive looking down looking down the passenger side. But I couldn't put the wiper on because it just had a slightly clearer windscreen. I don't know why. And there was nowhere to pull over. So I had to drive for 3 miles not seeing anything with like hyper eyes. Like Carl Fogarty / Paul Hollywood laser eyes. Like that. I didn't blink for fucking ages.
That Carl Fogarty never uses the wipers because of his Hawkeyes.
Oh, honestly.
His wiper blades.
It's that whole like fight or flight thing of like, I can't pull over. There's nowhere to pull over. This car's coming the other way. I can't see anything. It's pitch black. I mean, rain everywhere. Quick, do something, Muttley. Do something. And then I pulled in. I found a 24-hour fuel station. And luckily, I was worried that the arm had was a bit wanked or the motor was a bit wanked. But it wasn't. It was just the blade had just come unclicked and gone down the shaft. So I just clicked it back.
It had gone from being a stroker to a cranker.
Basically, yeah. But no, apart from that, really good.
Start to wrap this up. Before we do, though, I just wanted to read this out because it's potentially quite bad news for
It's not libelous, is it? For me, did you just
yeah,
say?
For you.
Oh, okay.
This was sent to us by a listener called Matthew Bartlett, but I think a few people have possibly mentioned this today on social media. It's a man called Michael Mason.
Right.
He parked in a lay-by to have a discreet wee and has ended up with a fine for £88
what?
For littering.
Littering?
Littering.
Pissy littering?
It says, Michael Mason has a weakened prostate and was 45 minutes into a two-hour car journey when he needed a wee on the A41 near King's Langley. He stopped at the last lay-by before joining the M25.
He did the right thing.
I managed to make it to the lay-by, Mr. Mason of Winslow, Buckinghamshire, says. I made sure nobody could see me and was very, very discreet.
Of course.
Two verys.
Yeah, underlined with the second one. Yeah.
An officer from District Enforcement, the firm contracted by Decorum Borough Council to deal with what it calls enviro crimes.
What?
Was said to have tapped on his window and told him he had been caught littering. He ended up being handed an £88 fine. The council says Mr. Mason was in breach of Section 78 of the Environmental Protection Act 1990.
I think...
I think you're not suggesting this gentleman was in the lay-by...
I think if it, he's not a stroker or a cranker, just so you know.
Yeah, but he's got a weak prostate.
I think it would be classed as littering if you'd filled a large plastic bottle.
Well, yeah,
and then left
the
bottle stood still at the side of the road.
If you're one of those people who's lobbing a bottle of Foden Fanta into the bushes in a lay-by, then yeah, that's littering. But I think wee's not littering. So Nick Freeman, you know that lawyer guy who's Mr. Loophole, who's always getting celebrities off speeding fines and stuff, he disagrees with this and says nowhere does the act cited classify urine as litter.
Yes.
I think most people have a good grasp of what litter is, says Mr. Freeman. It isn't litter. And I think if it was argued in court, in my view, they would lose. Most people have wild wee's and not just men.
True.
Now, that's a lawyer speaking.
Well, he speaks the truth.
So there we go. Your piss visitors may be legally dubious, but as long as you've got Mr. Loophole on your side, you might be all right.
I think if he was exposing himself, then that's not literally, it's another matter. But I think, no, that's just wrong.
I just realised that I can see the news story now, though, when you get busted for weeing
fly tipping a mattress, that's bad, right?
Yeah.
That's what wrong-uns do.
What if it's a piss-sodden mattress?
If it's
that
a pissy
makes it
mattress,
worse, according to this, because now urine's litter.
A pissy mattress, yeah. No, I just think that's ridiculous. Although a friend of mine once said to me, and I forgot to mention this ages ago, you know when you sometimes open the passenger... Sorry, we're talking about too much roadside wazzing, but when you open the passenger side door to act as a sort of shield,
yeah,
he winds the window all the way down and then tries to wee over through...
What?
Through the, yeah. Just because it says, just spice it, just spices up the event. Adds a little bit of danger to it in case you get a drizzle on the door card.
Oh, my God.
I haven't tried it yet. And I won't.
All right, well... on that extremely edifying note,
well,
it's probably time to end.
Do you think so?
Yes. Yes, I do.
It's time to end.
I said to the people who are producing this show, and they said, will you need a signal? And I said, yeah, we'll need a signal at 50 minutes, because then it'll take me 10 minutes to get Johnny to stop talking, because he can't take a hint time to stop the show.
I saw a lady yesterday with a hair and forehead that looked just like one of those pop-up roofs on a camper van. That's it. I'm finished. That's the end of the book. Just like... It's true. I just kept looking at her forehead and hair, going, just really looks familiar. What is that?
Wasn't it all rippled?
When the back lifts and the front stays the same. You know, like these sort of like 70s truck sleeper cabs. You know, a pop-up roof where the back's gone up but the front stays down. It looked like that. I kid you not, it looks like that. I just looked at her for a bit too long like this. And then I went, I'm writing that down for when I do that podcast with that cranker. Stroker. Yeah, so, yeah.
Right,
anyway,
then.
That's that then.
All right.
And all
let's
that.
Bring this into land.
Yeah.
Before we do, I have three things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel in which the vocalist from Dub Be Good To Me a notorious 1980s car spy photographer and the man who played James Bond in On Her Majesty's Secret Service get together to discuss how they like to lure animals into traps using only a sink made entirely of cooked pork products. That's right. It's the Leighton, Lehman and Lazenby Bacon Basin Bait Show.
What?
And if you can find your way back out of that one, then I congratulate you on your navigation
bacon
skills.
Bacon and Basin.
Bacon Basin Bait Show. We're going to retire this bit soon because it's getting fucking tenuous. Anyway, if that's not to your taste, there's always the Late Break Show, which is excellent because it's also real.
It is real, yeah.
Lots of good videos on there.
Yeah.
Second thing I've got to tell you is, I haven't mentioned this, but actually, I've got a book out.
What?
Would you believe it?
Piss
yeah,
off.
It's called Boring Car Trivia 4. It's full of lots of amazingly dull facts about cars.
The one about SD1s being a governmental form.
No, that's for 5.
No. Yeah.
It is on sale in the lobby here. And if you're listening at home, you can get it as an ebook or a paperback from Amazon or from our merch shop.
No, if you're listening at home, come into Stellantis's HQ.
We'll leave the table.
In about a week's time, and there's a pasting table just by the Alfa Romeo, which is next to a huge and wonderful, majestic Christmas tree. And then just, it's like an honesty box. You know those eggs that people in the countryside? Yeah. Give us a quid and take 6 eggs. Cash only.
And third thing I've got to tell you is that the Icelandic word for Walkman is pocket disco.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's actually Vasa disco is the Icelandic, and it literally translates as pocket disco.
Amazing.
Not that amazing.
No, I quite like that.
Anyway, yeah. Before we go, we just want to say a huge thank you to the people at Stellantis, in particular Jeremy, who brokered this whole thing, and all of his team and the crew who've supported us there at the back of the room to make us audible and visible. Thank you ever so much for having us. Thank all of you for coming along. It is very kind of you to give up your evening to come and listen to this drivel and to have a look at Nigel Mansell's horrible head.
Yeah, thank you to Dodge, Peugeot, Chrysler, Alfa, Jeep, Maserati, Citroen, Fiat, Lancia, Vauxhall, Abarth, DS, Ram, and of course, Opel. Thank you.
And on that fitting note, thank you ever so much for coming. Thank you for listening at home.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodbye.
Thanks, bye. Bye. Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Cheers, mate. Bye. I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends...
Oh, for fuck's sake! That never happens.
I completely forgot where I was going.
Yeah, you never.
Because I was like, it's not the normal one, because I've got to say we're at Stellantis. And I just suddenly went, oh, I don't know the way to that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.